University Broadcast Studio. It's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to Hour 3 of the Todd Starnes Radio Show. It's just a terrific honor to have you with us today. And we've got a lot going on this hour of the show. Our good friend Tony Perkins is going to be along in just a little while. And just to give you a heads up, if you were listening to the last hour of the program, you know that we were just briefly off the air. We had a lightning strike, and it knocked us off of the satellite. So we've got that fixed. But these things happen, and it's, you know, it is what it is in this age of the China virus. So thank you for sticking around, and just to give our radio stations down the line a heads up about the brief outage there in the last hour of the program. All right, we're also following a couple of other big stories. Number one, who is Joe Biden going to pick as his nursemaid? We do not know. Elizabeth Warren's name has been mentioned. However, she is not a minority. Well, she thinks she's a minority, but she's, you know, she's really not a minority. But Elizabeth Warren is in the mix there. Also, what is the fate of college football? And there is a fierce debate. President Trump weighed in just a few moments ago, saying that the guys need to be able to play football. Let them play ball. Let them play. And we're taking your calls on that as well. A lot of you are big football fans, men and women. Many of you also have kids that are maybe cheerleaders in the marching band. And folks, I got to tell you, I'm not sure what this country is going to look like if we don't have something, some sort of a release valve where we can just go out and enjoy ourselves. So we don't have to they're taking all of the fun out of America. And the Democrats are the ones doing this, and the wusses that are in charge of our public universities. It's very sad. So we'll be taking your calls on that and keeping you up to speed on any decisions that are made. It looks as though the Southeastern Conference and the ACC are the only teams that want to play, the only divisions that want to play. And there are some rumblings from Ohio State football players. Let us play in the SEC. If you're not going to have a season, let us play. So I want to talk to you about another story that's coming out of New York City. And I was starting to get a little discouraged last week, frustrated because so many Americans are just willingly turning over their constitutional rights to the Democrats and sacrificing their constitutional rights, their civil liberties. And it's been a great source of frustration for me as I've watched pastors of mega churches bend a knee to government. It's been a source of frustration to watch these men of God bow down to the statue of Nebuchadnezzar. And that's exactly what they've done. But over the weekend, I was encouraged. Over the weekend, we saw pastors, not in the Bible Belt, but pastors in California who were willing to take a stand. Men of God who stood in the pulpits and said, you are not going to tell us, Gavin Newsom, how we can practice our religion. You don't have that authority. We answer to God, not you, sir. You had people like Pastor John MacArthur. You had the pastor of God Speak, Calvary Chapel Church, now facing jail time because he stood in the pulpit in defiance of the government leaders. Pastors in California are fighting back. You also had over the weekend in Fort Collins, Colorado, Antifa thugs who decided they were going to protest in a subdivision. And by and large, we saw these Antifa protesters being literally run out of town by men in a community. And I say good for them for taking a stand. good for them for taking a stand. Now, Caleb, turn your microphone on for just a moment.
Hey, Todd, how's it going?
All right, are we back? Are we back now?
Yeah, we're back.
Okay, with the emails, everything, folks, I'm telling you, all of the technology, it's just, I miss the old days when we had carts and, you know, you had, you didn't have all the bells and whistles. You know, it's just a microphone and a board and some sort of a power supply. Those are the good old days.
Although the power supply would have still been an issue back then, to be fair, though. The lightning would have still probably been a problem.
That's fair enough. That's fair enough. So Caleb, you've got the Antifa thugs that were literally run out of town by the men of this subdivision. And it was another source of encouragement. And that brings me to what happened in New York City. There is great outrage being directed at New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio. And Mayor de Blasio has turned over 170 hotels. Many of you have probably been to these hotels. You have stayed in these hotels. He's turned these hotels into shelters for homeless men, for drug addicts, and for sexual deviants. We're talking about perverts, child predators. And these hotels, and if you've been to New York City, you know exactly what I'm talking about. The hotels are right there in the community. So you've got apartment buildings and you've got hotels right next to each other. So here's the headline from the New York Post. New York City illegally placed pedophiles near an Upper West Side playground. This is unbelievable. But moms across the Upper West Side in New York City have decided enough is enough. And they have formed groups. They are organizing. And they are forming neighborhood patrols. You've got citizens in New York City that are finally saying enough is enough. If the city's not going to protect us, we're going to protect ourselves. We're going to protect our kids. And what the hell are you doing sending the pedophiles to live next to a playground? What's wrong with you, Bill de Blasio? Now, I want to set the record and set the scene for you here. In New York City, there is Central Park in the middle, right smack in the middle of the island of Manhattan. On the east side, they call that the Upper East Side. That is where the super wealthy live. On the other side, you have the Upper West Side. This is where you would have upper middle class and the middle class. That's where they live. Very liberal in the Upper West Side, which makes the story all the more remarkable. Because now you have all of these liberal moms and dads, and you know what those liberal moms and dads, they love their kids just like conservatives love their kids. They don't want their kids hanging out in the playground with a creepy pervert staring at them and trying to offer them candy to get into a white van. They don't want that. These folks who are liberals, they don't want people pleasuring themselves in public on street corners. And that's exactly what's happening right now on the Upper West Side. It's unbelievable. Literally, they have people having sex in public in New York City right now. And nobody's doing anything about it. It's disgusting. People are afraid to leave their apartments. And they don't know what to do. Well, I got to tell you something. First of all, I think we need to take these liberals on the Upper West Side to the woodshed. What's wrong with you? We told you what was going to happen if you elected Bill de Blasio. We told you he was going to turn this into a third world hellhole. And what has he done? That's exactly what he's done. So now that we've taken him to the woodshed, they've got a chance to get this right. Now, you people that live on the Upper West Side, they're starting to understand now. They called in Curtis Sliwa from the Guardian Angels. Remember the Guardian Angels from the 70s and the 80s, before Rudy Giuliani was elected mayor, when it looked like some sort of a third world hellhole. And guess what happened? You had volunteers, you had citizens that were standing up, rising up to take a stand, to defend their communities. And that's what's happening again. In New York City, people are starting to reclaim their city again. This is a great thing that's happening, ladies and gentlemen, a terrific thing. But the question is, will New York City be saved? Is it possible to save New York City? And the reason why I asked that question, there are several reports that businesses are shutting down at a record pace. And people are leaving New York. As a matter of fact, PIX11.com, WPIX, one of the TV stations there in New York City, says they are dealing with a mass exodus in New York. And a sign that record numbers of people have left, sublet listings are at an all-time high. There have never been as many vacant rooms to rent or apartments to share in New York City than right now. This is according to research from PIX11. The city has 1.4 million apartments for rent, and a good many of them are sublets. And they're having a hard time finding people to rent these because there's no people left. People are leaving. They use some sort of an algorithm. And according to their algorithm, the number of sublets in New York City is higher than ever before. Again, this is the reality. They're saying about a third of the businesses, the private businesses in New York City, have shut down, will not reopen. This is what we're dealing with. This is the reality of New York City, the nation's largest city. The city that, by the way, is asking for a handout, a massive multi-billion dollar bailout. The Daily Mail reports that nearly 420,000 of New York City's richest residents have fled the city. Populations are down in the West Village and the Upper East Side by 40%. Now, you just think about this for a moment. So let's just say that you're talking about all you folks listening to us in Chattanooga on NougaRadio.com. That's a little bit larger than the city of Chattanooga. But just imagine that if the entire city of Chattanooga just packed up and left, hauled everything out in the U-Hauls. That's exactly what's going on right now in New York City. 420,000, that's 5% of the city's population, left between March and May. And so you have to imagine that a lot more people have left since May. Some neighborhoods like the Upper East Side, Soho, and the West Village emptied by at least 40%. The majority fled to vacation homes in places like Long Island, upstate New York, Pennsylvania, the Jersey Shore, and Florida. The people who fled were white, had rents of more than $2,000 a month, had college degrees, and had incomes of more than $100,000. There is a mass exodus of people. And you know what? Bill de Blasio called them fair weather residents. But these are people who are saying, you know what? We're tired of paying all the taxes. 1% pays 50%. 1% of the population pays 50% of the taxes in New York City. And that 1% said, you know what? You people are on your own. Good luck to you. I don't blame them one bit. But now, the people who cannot afford to leave, and again, we're talking about people on the Upper West Side. These are your middle-class New Yorkers. They don't have anywhere to go. They're forced to live with what de Blasio is inflicting on their neighborhoods. And they're rising up and they're saying enough is enough. All right, we got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show.
America's only fair and balanced talk radio host, Todd Starnes.
To say, good for you, citizens of the Upper West Side in New York City. You got to take your city back, and you got to stand up to Governor to New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio. By the way, Governor Cuomo suggested that and reminded people that he does have the right to remove the mayor from office if it gets to that point. And a lot of people are saying, yeah, we're beyond that point. We got to get something. We got to have some relief now. You got to get the pedophiles out of the neighborhood. Springfield, Illinois, this coming from Fox2Now.com. the local, I believe that's the St. Louis Fox station. So one Illinois school district is doing virtual learning. So that means the children will be at home under the tutelage of mommy and daddy, and they'll have to go to school online. A lot of parents are upset, though. But it's not about the fact their kids are not getting out of the house. They're upset because the school district is now telling the kids they have to get dressed for class. So, Caleb, this is an interesting story here. So, apparently, the kids, some of the kids are wearing the pajama pants. You know, you're at home, got to get ready for school. So, instead of getting dressed, the kids are just wearing pajamas.
And as Jerry Clower once said, have them where your belly can flop around.
Well, you know, a lot of people are doing that. There was a report a couple of months ago that Brooks Brothers and a lot of the high-end retailers saw a decline in business because nobody's getting dressed up to go to the office. You know, even the high-dollar guys are sitting around in their shorts and the T-shirts. They don't want to go back to school.
I've seen multiple stories about people who have been on business calls and something has caused them to stand. You know, they've been in a suit jacket and all that stuff, and something's caused them to stand up to reveal that they were in their underwear underneath said suit jacket,
now,
which is a little embarrassing.
Well, no. Well, you know, that was standard operating procedure at Fox News Channel, though. You know, a lot of the guys would be, you know, three-piece suit, the tie, and then they stand up and they're in their boxer shorts. And we all know what that led to. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Well, that's why you got to wear pants. You know, you got to wear pants. So the school district says kids are not allowed to wear pajamas while doing class online at home. Can you believe that? They actually put that in the school district handbook. And the parents are saying, wait a second. You're not going to tell me what my kid can do in my house. Are you nuts?
Well, see, I can even understand like saying no pajamas, but there are some schools that have gone as far as to say you have to, like if they have a uniform at the school, that you have to put on the school uniform to do the online class. And that is, to me, that's the most ridiculous thing ever. Like, really, we're all sitting at home. I'm sitting in my living room and I've got to put on this sweater vest or whatever, you know, school getup that you've got for me to put on is. It's ridiculous.
Well, the teachers union, they're all for this. And, you know, they ruin everything. The teachers unions, they ruin everything. They said they want the kids to, they want to raise the bar for kids. Okay, well, how about reopening the school? How's that for raising the bar? Unbelievable. So anyway, by the way, do they make you wear pants at WDUN?
I do have to wear pants.
That's
got
a nice
pair of blue jeans on right now.
This is why. Well, thank you for sharing that. That's why WDUN is a great radio station, because everybody has to wear pants. All right, there you go, kids. Got to put on some pants there in Illinois. 844-747-8868 is our telephone number. Do you think the kids ought to get dressed up for school if they're just going to stay at home? 844-747-8868. Crazy stuff happening in America, and I write about all of it in my latest book, Culture Jihad, How to Stop the Left from Killing a Nation. And Lord knows, I think everybody in the country needs to read this book, at least all of you freedom-loving patriots, so we can figure out a way to stop the socialists from taking over this great country of ours. And they're well on their way to doing it. So I would encourage you to get a copy of Culture Jihad. You can get it wherever you buy your books, but I'd rather you buy it from me. Just go to our store, toddstarnes.com. I will personally autograph and personalize any copy of the book that you purchase. Again, toddstarnes.com, where you can get books at a great, great, terrific discount. All right, let's get to the phones. 844-747-8868. Roy in North Carolina, listening to us on the talk station. Now, Roy, is it true? I understand that you were a part of the Trump flotilla.
Todd.
Roy.
Glad to meet you, Todd. I went fishing Saturday morning. I was in my favorite fishing spot, and I started to go back through the Boyne City area, and I saw boat after boat after boat with Trump flags, women for flags, women for Trump flags. I started counting the boats, and I got past 500, and I just kept looking and looking and looking. I could not believe the amount of boats, with the big boats, the yachts, the little boats, people packing on boats. I bet there was over 2,000 people, and I guarantee there was 1,000 boats there. It was unbelievable. It was a beautiful sight, and you won't see the first thing about it in our local people. But Carter County was well represented when it comes to Trump country. I can tell you that right now. Now I'm married to a liberal, so we cancel each other's vote. But I just want to let you know. And secondly, I went to your store and tried to get you a book, and I could not get it. For some reason or other, I don't know what the process is, but I could not get it. I'm gonna try it one more time to get your book, your Culture of Jihad book. You're about to wear me out trying to get your book. So I don't know what the deal is with your website, but I've been trying to get you a book, and for some reason or other, I went last week, one time last week, to get it, and that for some reason or other, and I got an 850 credit score, so you ain't got to worry about it bouncing a check or nothing or anything else, if you know what I mean. I mean, I got a bit frustrated about it. But I just want to let you know that there's people in North Carolina that love Trump and what he's doing for this country. And as far as these kids at home studying, I don't care if they're bare butt naked. They have no right to tell you what your kids can wear while they're going to school, while they're in their own house. That's the bottom line.
You know what? I'm with you, Roy. What do you think about college football? You know, right now it looks like the SEC and ACC are possibly going to save college football.
Well, that's another thing. It's like they said from the start, with the older folks and the people that are compromised, we should take care of those folks and get them. My mother's in a rest home. I can't even go see her. She's 95 years old, and I do a duo with her. And bless her heart, she wants to die. That's how bad it is. My mother is an independent woman, never had a driver's license, never had a credit card. And bless her heart, I've been trying to take care of her for the last 8 years. And it's about to break my heart. I can't even go see my mother. And she's old English, and these rest homes, bless her heart, I know they're trying to do the best they can. But I need to go come get my mother, and they won't let me even go do that. So. You know how that is.
So. It's heartbreaking. It really is heartbreaking for a lot of folks, Roy, who are in that predicament where they can't go and visit their elderly loved ones. It makes sense. But again, they're taking prudent measures, and I'm not sure you need to employ those same measures for a healthy, strapping 18-year-old college athlete. I just don't get that.
I don't either. They got to be in good health. Look at the training they go through. If they had heart problems or any kind of like that, anything like that, it would show up.
It's true. Some of those female athletes, they can bench press a Buick. I mean, let them get out there and play.
Well, at least Joe Biden can ride a bicycle now.
Allegedly.
I bet he's got one of those. The little tricycle things that they put on these little kids so they won't fall over. I bet it's got
the training wheels.
I guarantee you they got the training wheels on it.
Roy, here's what I want to do for you. Since you had a little trouble getting the book, I want to put you on hold, and we're going to get your contact info, and I'm going to send you a signed copy of Culture Jihad. Is that okay?
That'd be fine, but I still want to pay you for that book.
No, it is my treat. So, the next time I'm back in Eastern North Carolina, you can buy me something down at the Sanitary Fish Market.
No, I'm going to get you a good barbecue sandwich is what I'm going to do.
Oh, well, all right. Well, we can talk barbecue.
Yeah, well, it's a lot cheaper than that fish. Because I can get you a fish.
Well, Roy, thanks for the eyewitness report there from the Trump flotilla. By the way, Roy from North Carolina, if you didn't hear the first part of that, said there were probably about 2,000 or about 1,000, 2,000 boats out there. I mean, that was like, that's an armada. That's not a flotilla. That's an armada. But again, I think by and large, when you talk about the support this president has, the president's got support out there. They may not be out there answering the questions from the pollsters, but this president has a lot of support. And make no mistake about it, Joe Biden does too. I can assure you every dead person in the graveyard is going to be voting for Joe Biden. No doubt about it. Every illegal alien coming across the border will be voting for Joe Biden. You can take that to the bank. And that's why it's so important for us to get out the legitimate vote and to get out there and engage in our constitutional rights. So, Roy, thank you for the eyewitness account there. I have to imagine you're out there in your boat, you're fishing, minding your own business. All of a sudden, you turn around and you see an armada of Trump supporters. I mean, that's got to make you feel great, right? I mean, that's pretty impressive. All right, 844-747-8868 is our toll-free number. That's 844-747-8868. I've got to share this story with you. This is absolutely brilliant. So we told you about Mayor Lori Lightfoot from Chicago and how instead of cracking down on the protesters who were literally burning down businesses, instead of that, she was attacking a bunch of people out trying to suntan on the beach. Caleb, this is a funny story. There's been a new development, and this development is it's pretty spectacular. From Breitbart News, Breitbart.com, it turns out that this was not just any sort of beach gathering. This was a gay beach party.
Okay, good start.
So here you have the lesbian mayor of Chicago cracking down on a gay beach party at Lake Michigan while the protesters are burning down the city.
So now we have the classic Democrat turns the LGBTQ group against her.
You know, in fairness, once I was able to view the image that was that was on Breitbart a little bit closer, there was an unusually large number of grown men wearing Speedos. This explains a lot now. I thought it was a European thing.
Just thought there was a big volleyball match getting set to get started.
But there's a whole other thing here, and I am totally not qualified to talk about this. But, you know, there's like this tension between the gays and the lesbians. You know, that's what I've been told. And you wonder if this is somehow going to have some sort of a backlash, you know, where you've got the lesbian mayor cracking down on the
I didn't know this was a thing.
The Speedos.
This is really a thing. I did not know about this. So there's like a rivalry between men and gay women?
The lesbians. Yeah. I mean, you got the gays. Typically, the gays are the guys, and then the lesbians are the gals. And apparently, there has been some, there's some tension there.
It sounds like we need to get them to form a couple of football teams and go be a great rivalry.
Remember, I'll tell you that story off here. All right, we've got to take a break here. Tony Perkins from Family Research Council coming up next.
You're listening to Todd Starnes.
Welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. We have been following the story coming out of California where a good many churches are standing up to Governor Gavin Newsom saying, you know what, Mr. Governor, with all due respect, we're not going to obey you. We're going to obey God.
And you're not going to shut us out of our churches. You're not going to tell us that we can't sing. We have constitutional rights. Well, our good friend, the president of Family Research Council, Tony Perkins, was in California over the weekend. And it's my understanding that he was invited to preach, to speak at a church there on the Liberty University Newsmaker line. Tony Perkins. Hey, Tony, how's it going?
Todd, doing quite well. How are you?
I'm well. So you don't need bail money or anything, right? I mean, everything went okay?
Yeah, I'm in fact just about ready to leave the state. I've taken my mask off so I can do this interview. So I'm in. I can breathe now, and so I'm in good shape.
We call them face burkas. That's but.
Well, I had a Halloween mask on, but that's all right.
Oh, there you go. There you go. So you were at Pastor Jack Hibbs' church. Tell us, why are you in California?
Well, actually, this had been scheduled for a while. Pastor Jack Hibbs, Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, good friend. He's one of our key pastors in our network of about 15,000 pastors. And we've been walking with him through this whole process. He started their services back May the 31st, so they've been meeting for quite some time. I know there's been a couple of churches that have gotten attention lately, but he's been meeting. In fact, yesterday, their campus was just filled for three services. We had over 12,000 people there yesterday in three services. People, and the way they've got it structured is really good because they have many different options. If you want to be outside under a canopy, you could do that. If you want to go in the gym and social distance, you could do that. If you want to wear a mask, you're free to do so. If you don't want to wear a mask, you're free not to wear a mask. And if you want to come in the sanctuary, come in the sanctuary. And so people have options. But I'm tell you what, Todd, I knew this to be true, but I saw it firsthand yesterday after preaching those three services and then going out and signing books and talking to people in between the services. A large percentage of the people were not from his church. His church normally runs, historically about 9,000 a weekend. You have a lot more people looking for that fellowship. It's one thing to get teaching online, but it's a whole other issue to come together with fellow believers and have fellowship and experience the worship, powerful, powerful services. And I'm just telling you, when you see what's happening in our nation, where you see more people actually dying from suicide, drug overdose, and the coronavirus, it's time for the churches to be open once again.
No, I'm with you, Tony, and I'm wondering because, look, this is what you do, and I know that you cover persecution of religious of Christians around the globe. Here right. In this country, I'm not sure this is persecution, but it is. We are certainly being inconvenienced, but honestly, our constitutional rights are being violated.
Yeah. Now, let me be very clear. As I make these comments, I'm making them in my capacity as the president of the Family Research Council, not the vice chairman as the U.S. Commission on International Religious Freedom, where, as you say, I do travel the world under our mission. It's a bipartisan commission. I was appointed by Mitch McConnell, leader of the United States Senate. And, you know, our mission is to go out and look at what is happening internationally as it pertains to religious freedom and the persecution of people based upon their faith. And under this coronavirus, we've actually been tracking this, and we have spoken out on countries like Pakistan, India, China, Turkey. I mean, there's just very few. I mean, they've used this as cover to persecute religious minorities, no question about it. I would agree. And again, I say this from my perspective as the president of the Family Research Council, that we're seeing some of these same things happen in this country. Yeah, not persecution, but certainly discrimination, where you have here in California where wineries and restaurants and other places can be open, but not churches, or Nevada, where it's even more egregious, where casinos can have 50% of their capacity, but churches only 50 people. So, yes, I do believe that there are some who have latent hostilities toward religion, toward churches, that are using this as an excuse to clamp down and to hinder their ability to meet and for citizens to exercise their religious freedom. And I think, look, Todd, as Pastor Jack and other pastors, and even as I said at the beginning of this, when the president said, hey, 15 days to slow the spread, you know, part of our patriotic duty. But now as more evidence has come out, we know more about this virus, and you have some that are continuing to use this as a means of restricting the gathering of people together for religious purposes. It's time to push back. Enough is enough.
And, of course, we're seeing that happen in our final minute here, Tony. Where do you see this going? Do you think there's something bigger going on here, or is this just really about, you know, trying to stop the virus?
I think in some places it's bigger. It's about keeping Christians from coming together. If you think about it, where churches meet, Christians register to vote, they get voter guides, they learn how to apply the truth of God's word to the world around them, and that is detrimental to some on the left as they see it. Todd, it's time for churches to take a stand, for pastors to lead the way. People are hungry. They need the spiritual guidance and influence of our churches. Again, enough is enough. It is time to take a stand.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think the nation needs it, Tony. I think that's where we're at right now, and we're watching such great unrest. We need the voice of the church at times like this. What was it that Chuck Colson said? For such a time as this. So,
no question. You're absolutely
all right. Tony, safe travels. Good hearing from you, and glad to know it was a good report out of California. Tony Perkins, president of the Family Research Council, FRC.org, FRC.org. If you want to help out this tremendous organization, incredible ministry, they do some amazing work, and Tony is a great friend of this program. Tony, thank you.
All right, Todd. Have a great week.
All right. Good guy right there. You know, we should have asked Tony about the Southeastern Conference. I think he's a big LSU Tigers guy. So.
Yeah, I'm good with leaving that one.
Yeah, we'll leave that be. Well, we still like him, but, you know.
Before he brings up the SEC championship game again.
Oh, I forgot about that. That's right. You big Georgia Bulldogs. Yeah. Not over that yet, Caleb.
I was there. I spent like $250 on a ticket. No, I'm not over it.
No, he's not over it. All right, folks. Look, get out there. Have a great day. Watch out for that lightning, you folks in Georgia. Big storms. Have a good one, everybody. This is the Todd Starter Show.